We're living in an increasingly technological world, so maybe we should learn about it. The case for computer science education.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. And despite the growing use of computers and software in basically every facet of our economy, only recently has computer science education gained traction in American school systems. A recent report from the Information Technology and Innovation Foundation backs this up, finding that this science is often being left out of STEM education. In this increasingly growing digital technological world, that could be a problem. Let's get a little bit more on the current state of affairs. Joining the Tech News Briefing now is Karen Panetta. She is IEEE's Fellow Associate Dean and Professor of Electrical and Computer Engineering. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you very much for having me.
Of course. So according to this report, only around a quarter of high schools offer computer science. So what is the case for improving U.S. computer science education? Why is this so important?
Well, it's important for a few reasons. Number one is every job now requires technology, whether you do something in art history or even machine shops. Anything touches technology, even if you're doing administrative type of work.
Right.
So you hit on a great point that, you know, there's very few schools that can teach computing courses, and a lot of that comes down to access to resources. And it's kind of interesting that you don't really need heavy-duty computing to actually teach computer science.
Interesting. We need to start to get a move on this, obviously. So if we're looking at the big picture, a main issue seems to be accessibility. As far as access to computer science goes, where are we seeing this offered? How much so? Are there any specific stats on that?
Sure. So I would say most public high schools have some sort of computing infrastructure. And it might not necessarily be in-house, but more than 70% have some sort of on-site computing. And others utilize mobile apps now today, because mobile application writing is becoming prominent for schools to have access to.
Okay.
And the other big piece is the programming of robotics through like Lego kits and things like that. So they're doing programming at all different levels, and not necessarily internet type of computing, but it is there and it is available. And schools that don't have access to anything are using just basic algorithmic types of techniques to teach, and like such as making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and doing a flow chart to figure out the steps and the logic for that.
Wow. To push the need for education in this field, you know, it's a big undertaking. So where do we start?
Well, I would say you have to start, number one, by educating our educators.
Okay.
Because our teachers are so overloaded right now with testing requirements and things like that. And they have to be prepared as well. You can't come in and take somebody who's been certified in English and say, oh, by the way, now you're teaching computer science. That's intimidating for them. And if you have somebody who's not prepared and you're not willing to put the resources in to train them properly, students aren't going to be excited about it. So you need to be excited about it. And they have to understand that it's a learning process for them as well. So you have to give them the resources, and that doesn't have to be expensive. Again, a lot of the things that we're talking about to making computer science accessible is, number one, just understanding what it is and what the big picture is and how it helps benefit humanity.
Right.
And students don't actually see the impact that they can make by writing a mobile app to, you know, help people find lost loved ones after the aftermath of a natural disaster. So you have to be able to show them the big picture. It's not like, you know, we're teaching them how to use a hammer and you're going to hammer nails all day. If you don't learn how to build a doghouse, you don't get very excited about it.
Right.
So the excitement and the resources for our educators is number one.
Let's say in an ideal world we get that in order. How do we take it from there?
So the next piece is, you know, understanding one of the barriers that prevent students from going into computer science. And the number one thing is not access to resources, but access to understanding. So once we get that big picture of here's selling the benefit of humanity of computer science and how it's impacting the world,
mm-hmm.
The second step is the filters that we inherently put on young people, saying, oh, to be in computer science, the number one skill that you need is you have to be the best at math and science. And that has very strong meaning to different populations, especially to underrepresented students and women, that to being the very best means I have to be, you know, A-plus student, where other students might say, yeah, very best to me means I got a B-minus, I got a C, I can do it, and I didn't put a lot of effort into it, and I can do it. So we need to take those filters away. It has absolutely nothing to do with being the best at math and science. It's all about imagination and determination. Right. And those are the things that we need to refocus computer science students' interests on, is that those are the skills you need. Just like in sports, you don't train for a sport and become amazingly perfect at it until you keep playing, and you don't throw away and give up if you lose the game. You just train harder. There's no different for computer science.
We're speaking to IEEE's Karen Panetta on the state of computer science in the U.S. school system. IEEE, of course, is the global organization for the advancement of technology. You're listening to the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
Today's episode is brought to you by CIT. It's time to get growing with commercial lending, leasing, and treasury management services from CIT. CIT works with companies across a wide variety of industries, including transportation, technology, energy, manufacturing, healthcare, and retail. CIT has the expertise and experience to help you grow your business. For more information about how your business can grow with CIT, visit CIT.com. Put knowledge to work.
Thanks for listening, everyone. So, Karen, what do you think this means in terms of future goals? What's the end game here? We kind of touched upon some of the possibilities that computer science can open the doors to in terms of industry, in terms of jobs.
Well, I think that a lot of the things that we can do really can change the world. So, for instance, today's generation really has to worry about, when we develop something, not just how it's going to be used properly, but we have to now anticipate how it's going to be used improperly. So, you know, whoever thought that a cell phone could be used to trigger, you know, explosive devices, or that, you know, things are going to be into hacking, you know, breaking in security and fraudulent types of activities. So we need our students to start thinking about, how am I going to develop this to be so ironclad solid that it can not only be safe, but it can only be used for its intended purposes. So that's a whole different paradigm than I grew up with, or that you know, traditional computer scientists grew up with.
Sure.
If it compiled and it worked and it met all the functionality, we were happy. Now it's like, no, now I have to think about, you know, this thing's going to be used in extreme environments. Oh, I also have to worry about this device being used by someone in a third world, you know, who can't read or write.
Mm-hmm.
So user interface now becomes important. How does this human-computer interaction occur for somebody who's not literate? So
right.
Those are really very large social goals that we now have to look at. And the big picture that you just talked about is now looking at, it's not just about the computer science. It's now a lot about the human factors and the human psychology. So you have to have that psychology. Is more to be in a computer scientist today than knowing how to program and knowing the algorithms. It's knowing people.
Right. I mean, it certainly is all-encompassing, to say the very least, and this is really important information to get out there. So, Karen Panetta, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Karen Panetta for joining us. That wraps up this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing for now. For the Wall Street Journal, I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. Thanks for listening.
WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.